Cool. I think we can get started then. Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Talking Terror with TFL. My name is Zion and I'm the head of communications at TFL. I am joined today by our apps team lead, Vlad, as well as Chris, the CEO of TFL. So welcome, guys. How are you sirs doing today?
Cheers. Doing great. Feeling good.
Good. Well, I think, you know, what we're going to do today is give a couple updates on some of the projects that we're working on. We'll start off by talking about enterprise, since I think there's a fair amount for Vlad to cover there. And then maybe Vlad can drop some small alpha on what's coming for Warp Protocol. And then I see we have the Grandmaster of Alliance DAO here as well, Evan, who may come up here later. We're about 5 days away from Alliance DAO launching, which is pretty exciting. So we may have him come up in, you know, maybe later in this space after we cover a couple of things for Enterprise and Warp and have him talk a little bit about the upcoming launch there. But with that, why don't we start off with Enterprise? So Vlad, maybe you want to give an overview, maybe starting off with just an overview for those who may not have seen of what Enterprise has been up to as of late.
Yeah, sure. So guys, as you know, Enterprise just recently went cross-chain. And we actually hit our first chain, Migaloo, just a couple weeks ago, or maybe even less than that. But essentially what that means is that existing DAOs, as well as new DAOs that are created, can opt to create a treasury on Migaloo. And so that allows you to have, you know, a completely separate treasury. You're able to hold assets on Migaloo, and you're able to interact with all of the Migaloo dApps and all of, you know, the functions that Migaloo offers. And so going forward, you guys may have noticed that we're starting to expand to different chains as well. So Migaloo is not the only one that we're going to. We just recently put up proposals for Osmosis and Stargaze. And the idea there is once those are accepted, we throw the contracts up. And when the contracts are there, we're going to be able to see Osmosis and Stargaze as options there for DAOs as well. And so all DAOs are going to have to do there is submit a proposal to create a treasury on those chains. Once that gets executed, you wait a few seconds, and then your outposts are there. And what that means is you can send your assets from one treasury to the other. And once your assets are there, you can interact. So Osmosis and Stargaze are two cool protocols, and I think two useful chains because they have a lot of trading going on. Osmosis primarily, you know, focused on tokens, and Stargaze focused on NFTs. And so with these two proposals going up, we hope that, you know, DAOs are going to be able to make a lot more use out of their DAO capabilities. There's still a couple more chains that we're planning on going on. So Osmosis and Stargaze are the two that we have proposals up for. But there's three more as well, and we're planning to target all of these this year. So, you know, there's the big one as well, Neutron. We have Injective coming up, so they're going to be deploying IBC hooks shortly. Once they do, we'll be up on Injective. And then finally Juno as well, just so we can spread, you know, throughout all the big chains in Cosmos.
Hey, Vlad, do you mind if I jump in and maybe like set the stage a little more on what it means for Enterprise to go cross-chain and like the different versions of that?
Yeah.
Yeah, just like to be more high level, the way we think about this in two different ways, right? There are DAOs on enterprise that started on Terra and want to be able to deploy treasuries and have activity on other chains. And so that's a Terra DAO that wants to do things in other places as well. And so like that's the first version of enterprise going cross chain. And that's what Vlad is describing here when we say, you know, we're deploying the new chains is you can, a Terra DAO can now deploy treasuries on other chains. The second version of enterprise going cross chain is that enterprise can support DAOs from any other chain as well. And so that's phase two. And that's what's coming. What's that, January, Vlad? Early January?
Yeah. Early January is when we plan to launch that.
I just wanted to draw that distinction because there's like two versions of this, right? It's like Terra DAOs deploying assets in other places. And then there are DAOs from anywhere in Cosmos creating an enterprise DAO and also being able to deploy DAOs to any other places. And the first version is what just happened and the chains that we're going to add over the next couple of weeks. And then it's that second scenario that I'm sure Vlad was going to talk about as well that will be out in early January. And then that the other thing you should talk about, Vlad, is just like how you architected that in a way that we're not just copying and pasting things all over all of these different chains with a ton of technical debt and overhead, and how it's going to enable you to launch new chains significantly faster than anyone else can launch new chains and deploy new features to all chains simultaneously. And just like how the community can expect like significant development speed going forward after all this investment you guys have put in this architecture.
Yeah, 100%. So the way that we architected this is that we're going to have like the governance layer on Terra. And then when we say we deploy to another chain, what we deploy is actually a very light version of enterprise. So it's the enterprise treasury that gets controlled by the enterprise governance on Terra. And so for phase one, this is super easy to understand because we have Terra DAOs going cross-chain. But for phase two, we're really obsessing over the UX of making the experience identical across every chain. So if you have a token that was created on another chain, you can still use enterprise and use it exactly the same way as anybody would coming from Terra. The nice thing about this is that, you know, deploying enterprise on a bunch of different chains is a pretty cheap solution. Like we've seen that with a lot of dApps in the previous cycle where you kind of have a drop down for the chain that you're on and then you have to connect to a different chain and you see like a completely different set of data based on what chain you select. With our implementation, what this allows us to do is accept any token, either, you know, NFT or regular token, as a DAO asset and as a DAO staking asset, while keeping all of the interface the exact same. And so no matter where that asset comes from, it can go on the same enterprise dashboard and interact the same way as any Terra DAO. And I think that's super special because we're kind of advancing into a world where, at the end of the day, right? Like people care about the application, they care about the user experience, and not really as much about the server that it's run on. As long as the experience is good, and we have everybody, you know, feeling the exact same, no matter where their token is from. That's kind of what we're striving for here.
Yeah, it's super exciting what we're building with Enterprise Protocol. And I think that it's only going to get more exciting from here as we build out some of the new functionality that not only Enterprise DAO is going to have, but obviously the entire Enterprise suite that Chris talked about in his talk at Cosmoverse as well. And if you guys haven't listened to that, by the way, you can check that out on Terra's YouTube channel. I think it's called The Future of Terra. And Chris outlines how Enterprise is going to expand to encapsulate other products as well and will become the single place to manage on-chain organizations. So you'll be able to do payments. You'll be able to manage your DAO, which, you know, we have now through, you know, governance and staking for your token. you're going to have a place to hire for your company, a decentralized labor market. And you know, this suite of, I mean, to my knowledge, there's nothing like that in Web3, and it's going to be incredibly exciting when we bring that to Terra and allow teams that are building on Terra to utilize that. And obviously, you know, enterprise deploying across other chains drives value back to Terra as well. So that's going to be an exciting new development that we're going to see in the coming year. And by the way, I forgot to mention at the beginning of this space, but if people have questions about anything, you know, like any of the project updates, things that we're working on, you can either pop them in the replies to the tweet for this space, and we can read them out and then answer those for you, or you can request to speak, and then I'll bring you up to chat as well. Vlad, is there anything else you wanted to cover on the enterprise side of things, maybe some of the features to come?
Yeah, so one feature that we're working on fixing actually is the fee registration. So DAOs can soon continue to register their contracts for fee sharing. And what this means is that whenever somebody interacts with your DAO, you're going to be able to get a portion of the fees that are generated to the chain. And so this is kind of an incentive for people to get out there and be active on the DAO, because every time you use your DAO, and this could be with any transaction, be that creating a proposal or voting, or even claiming rewards, everything has a fee attached to it, and your DAO will benefit directly from you using your DAO. And I see a question in the comments is, how will the adoption of enterprise be beneficial for the Terra ecosystem? And I think, you know, falling back on the design and thinking about that a little bit, our governance and our main contracts are always on Terra. And what this means is that the bulk of the transactions and the large majority of these transactions are happening on Terra, right? So you have, you know, creating a proposal, you have everybody who votes on your proposal is a transaction. And then everybody, you know, withdrawing fees is a transaction in and of itself. And most of that activity will be happening on Terra. And now, you know, despite all of this happening on Terra, the experience for everybody will be as if we just duplicated all of the contracts on each chain. So it's going to be seamless. And then, you know, in the background, Terra is generating a lot of revenue from just simply the use of enterprise alone.
Yeah. Did you want to talk about maybe some of the features on enterprise's roadmap that are coming up soon, Vlad?
Yeah, yeah. So number one is, you know, the UX, and you know, we can keep talking about that forever because that's our main focus. But I think a second one is just making the treasury better. And since the acquisition of Pulsar, we've gotten a lot more resources on like the dashboarding front, and on like the information front. And what we're going to do is like a complete treasury tab revamp. And so this is exciting because we had a lot of DAOs actually come up to us and tell us that whenever they wanted to view information about their DAO and the tokens and, you know, how things are going, they would always go onto Pulsar's dashboard to view that. And, you know, we thought, why not just bring it to the enterprise dashboard and display all that information there? And so it's going to be super, super granular. You're going to be able to see, you know, your staked assets, your LP positions, as well as like a pie chart and a time series chart of, you know, all of the assets in your DAO. And so that's something we're looking forward to. And I think, you know, a lot of the DAOs are too.
Yeah, Pulsar is an amazing dashboard. If you guys haven't already checked that out, they have like tracking for basically any asset that you hold on any chain at this point. And they're just, I think probably second to none in terms of like, you know, managing your assets. And that's going to be coming to Station as well, like we talked about in the acquisition announcement. So that's going to be really exciting. I think it's going to be a great addition to enterprise and obviously for all the DAOs that are built on top of it. Vlad, did you want to talk about, maybe we can transition a bit, unless there's other questions any questions that people have in the audience about enterprise, we could transition to talking a little bit about what's coming up soon for Warp.
Yeah. You know, if anybody has any questions about enterprise and the products that we're coming up with, let me know. But we are also working on Warp, and Warp is kind of in a phase where we're going to have a big launch again soon. And for those of you that don't know what Warp is, it's basically an automation protocol for blockchains. And we have, you know, a lot of chains that we're on. And essentially what happens is, if you want something done, if you want a transaction to be done in the future, then you can use Warp to do it. And a couple examples here. One that we actually have live is limit orders with Astroport. So in this case, like, you want your swap to be executed at some point in the future, and this gets triggered when, you know, the desired price is hit. And Warp is made to be like super generic, meaning that condition can be anything, and the message / transaction can also be anything. And so it's really like a programming language that helps augment decentralized applications. We've got some super exciting developments coming up with that, you know, especially for tech nerds that are in the audience. The way Warp works right now is that you have a dedicated account, kind of like a smart account or a smart wallet, that allows you to send assets to it that then get managed by Warp. So in the event of a limit order, what you would do is you would send the assets to that account. And then once the Warp job is able to get executed, the swap is kind of done through the context of that account, and then sent back to your wallet. What we're going to be doing is isolating these accounts and making it even easier for devs and users to use by having each job have its own account. And what this allows is you to create multiple jobs without worrying about, you know, your assets being used by another one of your jobs. And so they're still going to be your accounts, except, for example, if you want to do a DCA or a grid bot, each one of these instances that you set up will be using a different set of assets. That's super useful for tracking, and it makes it a lot easier to manage multiple jobs at the same time. And that's the big one. We're also reworking our fee mechanism to make it more accurate for people that are deploying jobs to know exactly how much it's going to cost to run, as well as keepers, because at the end of the day, we have a decentralized network of people or keepers that are ensuring that, you know, each job that they're submitting is actually going to be profitable. And so this fee estimation is going to make it a lot easier for the market to kind of decide, you know, how many fees are required per job for it to be executed. Super similar to how blockchains work currently. It's kind of like a fee estimation mechanism. And then, you know, hopefully we can have a lot more keeper competition, as well as a reasonable market for the jobs.
Yeah, I think before we dive into that a little bit further, I saw Madman, you're up here with your hand up. Did you have a question or something you wanted to chat about?
Yes. Madman here. Orbital Command Weapons Crew. Got a quick question regarding Enterprise. Short question, I suppose. I heard you say something about Juno. And I know on Juno they got a little something called DAODAO. Now, I'm wondering about Enterprise and DAODAO in existence. Are we like coexisting here? Is this a friendly competition or is it an intimate collaboration? Is there any connection at all?
Yeah, there's really no connection at all. Juno is just another chain that we're deploying Enterprise to.
Gotcha. So there's, because I figured they, you know, with the way they're doing their DAO tooling and what Enterprise is bringing to the table, I wasn't sure if there'd be any conflicts of, I wouldn't say conflicts of interest, because that's usually like a, you know, like one of those insider things. So you would say could be more of a competition for those who would want to deploy their own DAO?
it's definitely not a a conflict of interest wouldn't make much sense. Yeah, no, I mean, it's like, I mean, they're both DAO tooling. So yeah, I would say it's probably competition. It's competition. Yeah, for sure.
Thanks for the question, Madman. Yeah, so I mean, you know, Warp V2 is going to be coming soon. Like Vlad talked about, there's a variety of improvements, you know, coming to that product as well. I know that we're really close to Alliance DAO launching, probably 5 days away from that. So maybe Evan, I see you're in the audience. If you have a moment and you're around, if you want to come up and talk a little about the Alliance DAO NFT collection that's going to be coming to Terra, and maybe preface the launch and what people can expect there. We'll try and get him up here in a minute. In the meantime, Vlad, is there anything that that you wanted to cover on Enterprise or Warp that that I didn't ask about already?
I think on Warp, actually, you're going to be seeing a lot more examples and a lot more demos being shown. So I think we're reaching the point with Warp where it's getting to be at such a powerful state that the gap here is now in users' understanding and especially developers' understanding of what it's capable of. I really want to drill home the fact that it's like a programming language that allows you to automate things on blockchains. And if you haven't developed on a blockchain, you might not know this, but it's extremely hard to do automations of any sort, whether that be, you know, periodic reward distributions for a DAO or like a DCA where you purchase things, purchase assets every week or so, or anything like that. It's really hard to do that. And essentially, when a team needs to do something like this, what they would do is typically set up a bot or, you know, hope that somebody's going to execute this, their action periodically. And so Warp solves this by democratizing automation. And so we've essentially created a market between demands that need to be filled and people that are willing to fill them. And so, like, this has been super useful for us as well internally at TFL. We've recently had to do enterprise migrations. So there was a bunch of DAOs that were previously created that needed to be migrated to V2 or to, you know, the official version 1.0.0. And so what happened here is we were splitting up a couple contracts, and that required assets to be sent over. And something, you know, really problematic here was that when NFTs need to be sent, they actually have to be sent one at a time, in the code. And so if you send about like 50, it actually maxes out the gas that a certain block can actually have. And so some NFTs, you know, had hundreds of NFTs that had to be transferred over to another contract. And what this meant was that we had to send over 20 at a time. And for the larger NFTs, this took, you know, several blocks. And Warp actually made this super easy for us because all we had to do was define what we needed to do, which was, you know, send the NFTs over to the new staking contract until they're all done. And we didn't even have to set up a bot for it. We just said, you know, do this till it's done. And then Warp just did the job. So, you know, this just goes to show that you can do so much with Warp, and it actually ended up being a lot easier for us to do that than to set up the bots for the migrations. So just to wrap that up, what you're going to be seeing more is more examples like this, more visuals. We're going to create, you know, a web app with a bunch of examples that you could take a look at, and specifically for devs to come up with ideas and come up with, you know, use cases for their own applications.
Sorry, Chris, did you have something you wanted to come in with? I saw you unmuted there.
No, it looks like someone wanted to come up.
Yeah,
we should bring them up.
Stacking Cubes, you're up, sir.
Hey, thank you. So Vlad, what is your favorite feature that you guys are working on coming out? And second question is, like, do you guys have an internal audit team that's auditing your codes, or external, and who are they? Thanks.
Yeah, so I'll start with my favorite feature. like coming out, I think again, it's more of a set of features, and this is the chain abstractions that we're doing. So, you know, no matter what chain you're on, you'll be able to use Enterprise. You'll be able to, you know, pay gas, regardless of where your token is coming from, or regardless, you know, of what gas token you have on what chain. And abstracting this all away is just going to make the look and feel of Enterprise as an application so much smoother. And so really looking forward to that. We're already testing this internally, and it just feels amazing because, you know, we've never seen anything like it. And we're super excited to show you guys and to release this to the public. As for audits, we do use external auditing companies. We've used a couple, and you can find these in our contract repos typically. But we've used FYEO, so FYEO, and SCV as well as our primary auditors. I think it's a good question for Chris as well, the first one. Like, what's your favorite feature?
An Enterprise?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, like the stuff we're working on right now. I mean, obviously the dashboarding is going to be cool, but the stuff we're working on right now is more like, it's all just like the cross chain. And so obviously, like, I think the ability to create a DAO, stake a token, vote and unstake, cross-chain, completely abstracted from a UI where you can't tell, where like the chain doesn't really matter, combined with fee abstraction, I think is just a killer feature. And I think it's probably going to be like one of the most interesting examples of like cross-chain protocols built on top of IBC that we've seen yet. And so, yeah, it's definitely what I'm most excited about.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, sir. All right, next up we have, I'm sure I'm going to butcher this, but Lelouch.
Hey, guys. Great to hear the updates. I just wanted to touch base upon one of the utilities of Warp, as Vlad was mentioning. Vlad, one of the utilities that we can potentially look into is how about creating a price-optimized swap for exogenous assets? Think about ETH USDC pool on Astroport. If somebody places an order to buy XL ETH in that pool, there's likely going to be a lot of slippage, right? Because we don't have deep liquidity on Astroport for, let's say, $1 million order. But if we were to divide that order in, let's say, 20 parts and execute it after every 10 minutes or after every 15 minutes using your automated workflow, then I think this slippage can reduce a lot. And this is the exact design which Thorchain uses for its streaming swaps. But I think with Warp, we can implement these kind of designs much more effectively. Thorchain had to develop its complete chain with live state for this. But with Warp, I believe this can be executed without doing that. So just wanted to know your thoughts about this.
Yeah, I think that's a super cool idea, and especially for larger orders, right? Because larger orders do have larger impact. I think this is great. And I think, honestly, also, this would be a better question for Astroport, because we're not actually the ones developing these features. But this is something that Astroport or, you know, whatever DEX would want to do this, could absolutely do this using Warp. So, you know, splitting up your orders over multiple different tranches, definitely possible using Warp. And again, like, it's up to the DEX here to implement that. But I think good feature overall.
Yep. Thank you.
Does anyone in the audience have an update on the Mars Hunger Games? What's going on there? No?
I have no idea. There's like every time I look on Twitter, there's some new like there's some posts that someone's posting about their governance post. It's like a post of a post.
Hey, one of the things we could talk about, we've been debating internally, is opening up Terra to accept different types of fee tokens. Right now, I think like the most, this is like something that right now on Terra Classic, you could pay with stables, right? And generally, like, you wanted people to pay with the stables and people wanted to save their Luna. Does anyone have any strong opinions about whether we should open, expand the list of tokens you can pay fees with on Terra?
I personally loved being able to pay with stablecoins. I mean, it just makes sense that, like, you're not going to pay for, you know, regular everyday things or like multiple transactions a day with, like, you know, something that is like a store of value to you. So I think just giving people optionality there makes sense. But I know we have Lelouch back up here. Did you want to come in on that?
Hi. Yeah. So, Chris, I do think that, you know, having exogenous assets, bringing them on the chain, for example, wrapped Ethereum, wrapped Bitcoin, stable coins, I think trading is still the biggest use case on Web3. And the trading activity that you see in some of these exogenous assets is very large. I also feel that, you know, back in the days, one of the reasons why Terra became huge was via bringing of exogenous assets via Mirror. I know they were synthetic assets, but that brought a lot of trading activity to Terra. So I do think that if we find a way to bring other assets on chain, whether it's via derivatives, via synthetics, or whether it's wrapped assets, that can, you know, really result, bring in a lot of trading volume on our chain again. And, you know, Warp has interesting things to bring. Like, you know, I was talking about price optimized swaps. So you can have, you know, swaps with very low slippage, despite having not so much liquidity. Astroport's constant liquidity model anyways is a very, you know, optimized liquidity pool. So I think these kind of use cases can bring back a lot of activity to Terra. So strong opinion that we should bring them exogenous assets also.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, we recently deployed all of that liquidity, and the amount of volume and trading activity that's created, it's been really good to see. And, you know, we've definitely been able to win some routes on the assets that we concentrated on. So you can go look at like the Terra Mega Dash and just like a massive spike in activity finally. And I think even more important than just like that activity spike is it sends a signal to builders who are considering whether to build or where to expand. That Terra is a place that's going to have a list of tier one assets that they can build on top of. And so like the inbound we've gotten since that deployment has been huge. And to the extent that we can continue that and bring even more, it'll just start to continue to build momentum. So yeah, we're excited about what's coming soon. Hopefully we'll have some new projects that we can announce soon that will take advantage of all of this new liquidity. Because I think it's pretty unique. And I think the important thing will be just to like carve out our own niche and the types of assets that are going to be on Terra. And because what we don't want to do is just be one more place where all of the same assets exist. So we have to have some kind of unique value prop. And I think like this injection of these assets has done that. Also, I love your idea about using Warp on Astroport to like spread out the trades. I think some people know this. We might have talked about it a little bit, but the way we got our Bitcoin to the Terra blockchain was using the streaming swaps with Doorchain. It worked incredibly well. It took forever, though, which was terrifying. But yeah, it was incredibly useful for converting large amounts of crypto assets. So
I see we have a Windfall up here as well. Welcome, Windfall.
I was looking at the reactions. Were there any negative reactions to enabling more types of fee tokens on Terra, or was it all positive support? Is that like unanimous? We haven't been able to come up with a good reason not to. Like the hypothesis here is like the most important thing we can do is make it easy to use our blockchain. And there's nothing more frustrating than like sending a token into a chain and immediately being stuck and adding friction to that experience. And so, I'm we're even considering opening up to even more types of assets beyond just stables, right? Like why not WBTC? Why not WETH? If people are moving those assets in and they want to immediately be able to use them, they don't want to get stuck at some step where they don't have a token now. it's kind of become less of an issue with time with Station V3. We'll introduce fee abstraction. So in January, if you have at least some token in your wallet that can be used as a fee token, it'll be able to convert over and turn into Luna so that you don't get stuck. But I still think that like as a chain, we should optimize for UX, and the best UX move would be able to give people as many options as possible to use as their fee token.
So Chris, one quick addition for the exogenous asset. It might help if you also bring the Noble USDC, the native USDC, because it's picking up everywhere liquidity compared to Axel USDC. So yeah, just a quick suggestion in case it's possible for Terra to also have the native USDC now via Noble.
It is, yeah. It is, actually, yeah. We'll be deploying stable pools very soon, like in the next few days, I would say. So absolutely. And I noticed that, like a lot of activity on Osmosis is moving over to the to Noble.
Windfall, did you have a question or something you wanted to come in on?
Yes, hey guys. I have a question, if I can come back to Warp Protocol for a second here. It's unclear to me, and sorry, it must have been answered in the past, but it's unclear to me if as a user or a developer, if I post a job, it can be executed by a keeper if all the conditions are met, but is there any guarantee that it will get executed or it may be executed? So on the technical side, I don't know if my question is clear, sorry.
Yeah, so the idea here is that you want to make it attractive enough to essentially get as close as you can to guaranteeing that it'll be executed. And so what I mean about this is, like, say you have a limit order, right? And your condition is that you want the price of a token to be so-and-so. And then as soon as that happens, you want to swap it, right? And at this point, I'm guessing that your question means, like, if the condition is true, what guarantees that someone's going to execute this? Is that correct before I proceed?
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So here, what you would do is you would put up a reward, typically as a fee token, that would be slightly higher than what it takes for you to execute it. And since there's that delta between the amount that someone gets for executing and the amount that they pay to execute, if that delta is positive, meaning someone pulls a profit, they're incentivized to actually execute that for you. And so I guess, you know, the larger that delta, the larger the profit that the keeper gets, the more of a guarantee that you get that it would be executed. And so if you really have, if you really want something to be executed, you just put the reward higher.
We still need to be certain that there's like a keeper out there watching the opportunities, because even if they make $1,000 to execute a transaction, if there's no one looking at the protocol, it will not get executed. But I guess the more liquidity, the more use, the more potential keepers. But at the moment, I understand there's no like guarantee to get an execution.
Yeah, exactly. So at the moment, like, we're running a keeper. We have a few community members running a keeper, and that's like a constant bot that's running in the background that scans this. But if you want like an absolute guarantee that your job will get executed, you can spin up a keeper as well. And, you know, it's just a few lines in your CLI and you're good to go. So it's fully permissionless.
Thank you very much. So maybe it's my conceptual understanding of what the keeper do. So
sorry, I think you cut out there.
Yeah, you might have cut out there at the end, but I think we got the gist of what you were saying. No, I think you're right, Windfall. It's a series of economic incentives, right? Like, there has to be an incentive for a keeper to execute the job, but that's why the fee estimation feature that Warp is adding is important, because it's going to estimate a fee that will be enticing enough for keepers to want to execute these jobs when the conditions are met. Does that make sense?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, cool. Yeah, thank you. Okay, so next speaker we have is Abdallah, you have a question? You're on mute if you're trying to talk. Okay, they might be unable to speak right now. Okay, let me see if there's any questions here in the replies, just to make sure we get to them. So one of the questions was, how far is Station V3? How far away are we from launch? I think Chris already kind of answered that. It's coming in January. Liondell, welcome, welcome.
Good morning, good morning.
How is everyone?
Doing well, sir.
I've managed to sneak out. Usually you do these at an awkward time where I'm like spending family time. So managed to sneak out and listen to a bit of this one. I've got a question. I don't think it's been raised for a little while. So I'm gonna bring it back on the table. Any progress with the Washington Nationals sponsorship that Terra previously did? We've got a huge marketing asset there. I think we're a couple of months away from the baseball season starting up again. I think it'd be great if we could do some rebranding, get Terra V2 out there as the product that's been advertised, and also maybe some of the Terra protocols could take advantage of that great marketing asset as well. So just wondering if you'd made any progress with that.
I don't know if Chris wanted to come in on that, but I think I can answer that. Yeah, I mean, there's not really so right now it's kind of the branding that's up there is the branding that's up there. It wasn't TFL the entity that did the deal with the Washington Nationals. If you look back at the previous announcement, it was a Guernsey Trust that was basically the Terra Classic Community DAO that did the deal with the Washington Nationals. And so I'm not sure what flexibility they have to change what's up there now. I don't know if Chris, do you have anything to add to that?
No, we haven't. I haven't done any work on it because it's going to cost me too much money and attorney's fees to even look into it right now. We haven't done anything.
How are things going on Liondell, sir? You guys are progressing quite nicely. You've been expanding and launching all sorts of stuff on different chains, it looks like.
Yeah, it's going really well. We had the V2 enterprise upgrade this last couple of weeks, and we've been testing it in earnest and finding a bunch of finding any cracks. So we've been keeping Vlad and the team busy. With the Luna price increase, we hit an exciting milestone of $250,000 in our treasury. I think probably made up of something like 60-65% of that is Luna. So that was great news for us. We're working on a few things in the background to maybe sort of expand the kind of function of Liondell. So we're working on a kind of separate protocol that will be to the DAO. So that's pretty exciting, and looking forward to revealing more details about that soon. Very, very busy. We've had some great partnerships with like Kajira chain and White Whale chain as well. They've been like really supportive and kind of bringing functionality of the raw token. We've got our liquid staking derivative. It's currently a collateral asset over on a money market on White Whale. And now with some increased activity on Terra, we'll look forward to maybe making some more partnerships over here as well.
When did you guys start, Ryan? Like you started like Liondell not too long ago. It's been like, has it even been 3 months at this point?
It's been we launched right at the end. Well, basically when the enterprise launched V1, which was right at the end of March. So basically since the beginning of April. So we've been, what's that, like eight months.
My math is atrocious.
Yeah, apparently. You've been busy doing other things, clearly. But 8 months, we've been busy. People are still active and engaged. So yeah, we've been keeping the Terra community busy while you guys have been off plotting how to take over the world again. So yeah,
love it. Yeah, you guys have been. I mean, you guys have been showcasing some of the powerful projects that, you know, Terra has to offer, and then obviously taking things to other chains as well, which I know the people in the Terra community really appreciate. We got about 10 minutes left on the space here. If anyone has anything that we haven't discussed that you guys want to chat about, it doesn't necessarily need to be about some of the projects that we're working on. I know Evan's still here. Evan, you want to jump back up as a speaker and talk a little about Alliance DAO? We can finish the space off with that. Otherwise, if there's something else that people want to talk about, I mean, this space is for the Terra community. So like, you know, we'll come in with project updates and, you know, we could talk about the stuff we're working on and answer any questions that people have. But Terra is really, I mean, the Terra community, the Lunatic community is the lifeblood of the Terra ecosystem. And so this is our chain, not TFL's chain. And so if you guys have things that you guys want to discuss in these spaces, you know, just request to speak and come up and we can chat about them, you know. I will bring Evan up here for now and he could talk a little about Alliance DAO and what's coming there. Hello.
Hey, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Did you want to, Evan, did you want to give an overview of, by the way, I'll just preface this by saying, Evan will kind of walk through a little bit about Alliance DAO and what's coming up soon, but we've already released a couple blog articles.
Am I on?
Outlining Alliance DAO. Oh, yeah, we can hear you. Can you not hear me?
We can hear you, Evan.
Okay, cool. Sorry. Been
oh, there's some issue.
Running, trying to get in better service so that I could actually speak to you guys. So some excited things are coming up next week, early next week. We are going to be finally launching Alliance DAO, our NFT. For those of you who have been following along, this is the NFT that we are launching to reward Game of Alliance participants, which was a testnet to test the Alliance module for its release. Anyways, that was back in February, and now we have these NFTs that we are going to reward one per IP. So we have around, I think, 9,538 NFTs that will be assigned to the 9,500 wallets that participated in Game of Alliance. So if you had multiple wallets under one IP, all your scores were aggregated and they were assigned to the wallet with the highest score. And so this way, you know, is the fairest way we could think to do it. Basically, we have a claim site set up. It's going to be live early next week and we'll announce it. You can connect your wallet to the claim site. And if you participated in Game of Alliance and there's an NFT assigned to your wallet, you can click a button and mint it, and there will be some confetti, and you will get an Alliance DAO NFT. The art is pretty cool. I'm going to leak some art probably today or tomorrow. Or sorry, people are going to hack into the mainframe and steal the art from us. If you guys have been following Alliance DAO on Twitter, you guys can read the planet dossiers that have been going out every day leading up to launch. There are 10 different planets, and so they're each kind of unique. We have a whole story. You guys can read the story. It's on the Terra Medium and then also the Alliance DAO account. So follow Alliance DAO and stay up to date on the big NFT drop. been working really hard. It's crunch time, so getting those NFTs out is our top priority. Does anybody have any questions about the Alliance DAO NFT?
Rebel DeFi is up here. Rebel, do you have a question?
Hi, guys. I am about this IP tracking. I'm kind of curious about that. I don't remember if we had to like tick a box saying that that was something that TFL was doing. I'm not sure of the sort of the implications of that. But I mean, I use a VPN. So what if someone else is using the same VPN? And what if that person had more activity than me? Does that mean they're going to get an NFT that apparently is the same person? How can I make sure I'm going to get an NFT? And I'm sure I'm not the only person who uses a VPN.
Yeah, so basically, I doubt that this will come up just the way the data is. I don't think it's going to be a problem. If you used multiple wallets, you have to connect with each of those wallets to find the one that the NFT is on, but you should get your NFT.
No, well, okay, I appreciate that, but like, so I'm sitting behind the VPN, someone else is sitting behind the same VPN, we've both just got one wallet and we're both playing the game of Alliance, but we're both essentially coming through the same IP. I mean, that's my understanding of how a VPN works.
I mean, you'd have to be using, right, you'd have to be using the same VPN connected through the same country, connected through the same server. And I think what Evan's saying is like low probability, but if you don't get an Alliance DAO NFT, I will give you flats.
That sounds like a deal, Chris. Awesome. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so I guess if you guys don't remember how the NFT works, we're going to be posting a proposal next week on the Terra Governance Forum. The Alliance NFT contract is going to also mint an Alliance asset that's owned by the Alliance DAO. And so the proposal is to add this asset to Terra staking as an Alliance asset so that the DAO can stake it. And the DAO is the only one that will ever own this asset and can stake it. The DAO can stake the asset and accrue rewards to all the NFTs. And so all the NFTs accrue rewards at the same rate. It's basically, you know, your NFT is worth 1/9538 of the entire reward pool that grows and grows. And you can only claim your rewards one time. And after you claim them, your NFT is considered broken. So you kind of have to crack open the NFT to get the rewards. Once it's broken, it no longer accrues rewards. So it's kind of a fun, like last man standing kind of thing, where as more people break the NFTs to claim rewards, as they get more valuable, the smaller and smaller the number of people who can claim on that pool is, and the larger the unbroken NFTs, their claim of the pool is. So there's that aspect to it. Like I said, the proposal's going up next week. And so stay tuned to that. Once you claim your NFT, you'll be able to stake it to the Enterprise DAO. Alliance DAO using Enterprise. And basically everything about this Alliance asset, the staking, delegations, and claiming rewards will be controlled by the DAO, by NFT holders. So it's important that we have people stake to the DAO and participate in governance. And then with Terra's new fee share module, we will be able to direct, I think, half of the contract fees or the transaction fees from the Alliance DAO contracts back to the DAO treasury. And so I think the idea is we're going to then distribute that to the DAO distributor, and everyone you know, who stake to DAO governance can get a portion of those fees. So that's another cool thing that is happening.
And there you have it, folks. We are at the hour, so we will call it here. Thank you to everyone who asked questions, listened in live, and are listening back to the recording of this space. And we will see you guys next time. And if you want to learn more about Alliance DAO, you can follow at @the_AllianceDAO on Twitter. And like Evan said, we're about 5 days away from launch here. So with that, we will close the space out. Thanks, everybody.
See you guys.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken knives. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known a politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss. And I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of DNA stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place, smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the code and going full throttle. Eats, tearing apart your community. All these low hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Terra Spaces.